Hey guys, the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor's Truett Seminary is a place where Christian leaders in sports are formed and equipped through theological education, practical training, and useful resources. As a sports ministry leader, coach, athlete, pastor, or student who wants to learn more, you can apply for admission in an online or residential graduate degree program, take continuing education certificate classes, and participate in character leadership practicums. You can start your journey today at Baylor's Truett Seminary by going to their website, baylor.edu/truett/FSI. baylor.edu/truett/FSI. Think deep, lead strong, and run the race well with the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University today. Hey guys, today on Sports Spectrum, we're going to bring to you a plethora, one of my favorite words, a plethora of conversations that we've been able to have with Brock Purdy, starting quarterback, San Francisco 49ers. If you listen to this show, you know that we've talked to Brock on a few occasions in 2021 when he was in college at Iowa State. In 2023, about a year ago at this time, we were in the Purdy household talking to Brock, talking to Mama Purdy, Carrie Purdy, and talking to his dad, Sean Purdy, and this was 9 days after they lost the NFC Championship game in January of 2023 against the Eagles. And here we are a year later. Brock is healed up from his injury, his elbow injury. He's healed up from all the recovery. He's gone through a full season, MVP-type season, and now he's preparing for Super Bowl 58 starting against Patrick Mahomes. It's a great story. What we want to do here today is bring to you a portion of different conversations that we've had with Brock to give you an idea, a little deeper idea into his faith. Now, you're going to hear a portion of the conversation from 2021. You're going to hear a portion of the conversation from 2023. And then today, as we record this in early February at the Super Bowl, we were able to ask Brock a couple more questions in the media availability here in Las Vegas about his faith. So you're going to get three different sort of versions, if you will, of Brock Purdy, but I think you'll really see a consistency in how he talks about his faith, and that's what's most impressive to me. He's never wavered. He's the same as he was when he was at Iowa State, as he was when he was injured and lost the NFC Championship game, to where he is now as he prepares to start in Super Bowl 58. So let's take a listen to a portion of Brock Purdy here on Sports Spectrum from 2021. Want to talk about your faith. You alluded to it, getting into the word a lot more in 2020 and diving in. But let's start a little bit backwards, if you will, on your faith journey. Tell me about Jesus, the importance of him in your life, and where it took shape for you.
Yes, sir. Really, I was born and raised in a Christian household. My mother and father did a great job with, you know, my younger brother, my older sister and I, you know, going to church every Sunday and whatnot. But going into high school, my junior year, I got mono in the beginning of my junior year. And this is, you know, when kids are getting recruited for football, and I'm seeing all these other kids around the state getting all these scholarship offers. And so I come back from mono, and, you know, I see all these kids getting these offers, and I'm like, man, I could be doing the same thing. You know, I'm going on the game field on Friday nights, and I'm competing with these kids, and you know, I believe that I could play at that level as well. But it just wasn't coming for me at the time. I was small and frail because of mono and everything. So my junior year is really where you know, I started to lean into Jesus. Obviously, I grew up in a Christian household, but I feel like at that moment I was like, man, my identity's got to be in something other than football, because obviously if this isn't to work out, like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Who am I going to lean on? And so it was really from that moment on, you know, I chose to follow Jesus and go with him in life. And so, you know, everything wasn't perfect. I had to wait till after my senior year to get offers and all that stuff and to understand where I was going to go to college. And even in high school, from that junior year moving forward, it was all about Jesus for me. I made it evident to, you know, my classmates, my teammates moving forward, You know, I was in FCA leading that, just trying to get teammates and classmates to come to FCA huddles and hear about Jesus, you know. And that was something that, you know, I loved, and it was a great experience. And, you know, when I got here to Ames, man, I just had a bunch of great believers that were older than me on the team, took me in, and going to player Bible studies and all this stuff. But for me, when I first got here, actually, we're going through fall camp, and the first week of fall camp, I come here and I'm excited to practice and everything. And I was having actually a horrible week. I'm throwing interceptions left and right. I was just doing absolutely horrible. And I, at the end of the week, in the first week, I went to the hotel room and I got on my knees and I was like, Lord, forgive me. You know, I'm putting football in front of you. You know, I'm so concerned about what my coaches are thinking about me and trying to please my teammates and all that kind of stuff. And so it was just a great reminder of, you know, where my identity is, where it lies, and it's in Jesus. And I continue to lean on him. Again, not the next day I didn't go out and throw for 500 yards and was this awesome quarterback, but it was just this peace that I had with him, knowing that, hey, no matter what I'm going to face moving forward here in college football, you know, God and Jesus is going to be my identity, and whatever I face, you know, I won't be shaken from it. You know, I got a great foundation in him. So, you know, moving forward, that was before my freshman year. And then really my sophomore year, I'd say, after I had success my freshman year, all these expectations and pressures, you know, came. Hey, we finally have a quarterback at Iowa State, you know, who played a full year, and he's going to take us to these games and do the things for the first time in school history. And so all this stuff, you know, I'm hearing. And I continue, like, I wasn't perfect with it. You know, sometimes I would give into it, listen to it, hear how great, you know, this college town was saying I was. And then throughout that season, man, there were so many games and times where, you know, we'd lose a close game and we're losing. And, man, I was going back to my, apartment room and I'm like, man, like, you know, this isn't me. Like, I'm trying to put all these, or put all my time and effort into people and pleasing them. And it just wasn't going great, you know? And so again, I have a cross hanging in my room, and every game that we lost and even that we won, though, I'd make sure I'm on my knees, like, Lord, forgive me for putting anything above you. And I was just reminded time and time again, like, you know, my identity can't be in football, can't be in things of this world. It's got to be in him. And so, yeah, that was going through my sophomore year. And then junior year last year, it was a little different, obviously, with COVID. But actually going into last year, I was hearing a lot of, you know, draft talk. Hey, he's going to be projected first round, second round, whatever, if he has a good year. Yeah. And so the first couple games, you know, that's all I was concerned with and thinking about. And, you know, the first couple games were a little rough for me. And again, I feel like I was playing out of fear, and I was going through life out of fear, like I didn't want to fail anybody's expectations, you know, hey, I'm projected this, I got to do that for them and their pleasure. So I learned again, time and time again, man, like, hey, I can't be doing that. I can't put all my eggs in one basket, which is football at the time for me. It's got to be Jesus, man. And so, you know, I feel like I've matured in a lot of ways. Like, I still got a long ways to go. I'll never get there, but I'm continue to lean on Jesus through all of this. But, you know, finished out pretty good season, a historic season for the school. Yeah. Really excited about that. But, you know, moving forward, actually, man, this offseason has been a blessing. When I came back from break, man, I was just on fire just to, you know, hey, this is my last year. It's my last off season, right? I want to do all I can to pour into my teammates and give them all I got. As far as fellowship goes, you know, get my Christian brothers together. Let's go. Let's do this together. And, you know, we're doing it. We're taking it one day at a time, meeting together. But, there's been something different. I prayed about it, you know, in the fall last year. I'm like, Lord, you know, give me that drive, that hunger and thirst, you know, for you and your wisdom, you know, to get into your word all the time. And, man, I came back from break, after that Fiesta Bowl, and that's exactly what I, you know, found, like the Lord blessed that with me and, a bunch of other teammates as well. So we're all not perfect. We know that, but man, like, when you can get a good group of guys, you know, on the football team, whatever sport you're playing, man. And, they get it with Jesus, help each other grow. It's been amazing. So, yeah, that's where I'm at so far. So
that's really well said. And it takes me through, you know, so much of what you've walked through since you come to you came there as a freshman to where you are now. But I what kept popping in my mind was, all right, he's the quarterback of Iowa State. So you're looked at as a leader, right? You're looked at as the guy, especially if you're the starting quarterback, to help lead this team on the field and help lead them off the field, knowing that not everybody may agree with what you believe or even be in the same place that you are. Some might be a further ahead in their walk. Some might not even be Christians at all. Help me with that. And let's think about this for a second, because you never want to force your faith on anybody, but you don't want to hide it either. How have you learned through the last 3 years to not be ashamed of your faith? Clearly what you just said is someone who's not ashamed, but yet you still got to lead a team that has a bunch of players and a bunch of people that are all different backgrounds and races and religions and everywhere and anywhere. So how does that come into play as you a leader on the field and the quarterback with Iowa State?
Yeah, I've had so many encounters and conversations with teammates about this topic, and they tell me what they believe. I tell them what I believe. We listen to each other, and that's great. But man, at the end of the day, I love them no matter what. That's what we're called to do. And I just make sure that they know that. And I am who I say I am. Yes, I say I'm a believer in Jesus. A lot of people can do that. They can be hearers of the word, but we're called to be doers. And so for me, man, yeah, I get into my word. I got my brothers in Christ. But also, yeah, we have 120 some guys who are from all these backgrounds and stuff. And so I'm not, you know, trying to be a fraud. I'm not saying I'm this, and I go in front of them and, hey, I'm in all these conversations in the locker room that I shouldn't be in. Like, I'm trying to be, you know, who I say I am. I'm authentic in my faith, and they know that. And the thing that I've actually seen, you know, my freshman year, I come here, you know, I was just quiet little quarterback, you know, freshman, and not trying to step on anybody's toes or anything. But when someone would ask me, they're like, man, like, you know, what are you about? And then, you know, I'd give them, you know, my spiel on, you know, what I believe in. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll see. Cause everyone says that when they come here. Right. But, you know, after time, you know, they respect it a lot. You know, they're like, nah, like Purdy's about it. You know, he told me that when he first got here, and man, he's living it out. Like, we can see that. And so I think just, you know, through your actions, not out of any, like, you know, fake actions, but out of authentic actions, you know, showing my brothers that, hey, even though we disagree about, you know, this belief or whatever, you know, I'm still going to be there for you. I'm one call away, and I'm still going to show you love every single day. And so, you know, obviously I'm not afraid to, you know, dive into, you know, what I believe in with them. When I get my shot, yeah, I tell them, but, they respect it, and I respect, you know, where they're coming from too. So
I have to imagine the answer is yes, because it's almost like a rhetorical question that I'm going to ask you this, but I assume you want to continue playing if God allows it at the next level, if that's an opportunity that you might have, right?
Yes, sir. I've thought about that, you know, hey, I want to live out my dream. Yes. But whatever I do, if it's not football, if, you know, if it's ministry, if it's something else in life, man, I'm just going to be thankful and like continue to lean on Jesus. And I know that he'll, you know, keep my path straight. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't like to think too much of, hey, I want to be in the NFL. I'll do this. Yeah.
No, I get it. I mean, it's natural to think about that, though, playing, you know, quarterback and starting. But I also like your attitude, because, you know, football is only for however long it's going to be. It may be for another 15, 20 years. It may be for, if you're Tom Brady, who knows when it'll end. But everybody else, it's going to end sooner than we think. And so what else is there? What else is there? You mentioned ministry. Is that something you want to go into, you think? Maybe be involved in the ministry when you're done playing, or even when you're done with college?
Yeah, something that I thought about, especially like in the past year, with all the time that we had during COVID and whatnot, and then this past off season from January up until this point, I've continued to just pour in, you know, how can I defend the Christian faith? How can I witness to people? That's something that I've been big on right now. And so, yeah, if that's a calling, for sure, I'm continuing to pray on that. That would be pretty sweet. I'd love to do that. You know, if it's not, it's not. But, you know, I always want to be ready to be able to share the word, you know, whatever job it is. And so that's where I'm at right now with that.
And that was Brock Purdy from 2021 when we talked to him right before his senior year at Iowa State. This portion of what you're going to hear is the conversation that took place a year ago, 9 days after he loses the NFC Championship game to the Philadelphia Eagles. He injured his elbow. We somehow at Sports Spectrum ended up at the Purdy house, which is still one of the great stories I'll probably tell forever when it comes to my broadcasting journey is ending up at the Purdy household. But listen to what Brock says, and keep in mind that 9 days earlier, he had just lost the NFC Championship game and injured his elbow in a devastating injury. This is Brock Purdy from February 2023 here on Sports Spectrum. We just had a moment here where we're at your house in Arizona, and the doorbell, the doorbell rang or somebody knocks, and it's two kids, 12-year-old kids, who live down the road, very close, obviously, and just wanted to meet you and get your autograph. And it made me think, first of all, it put me back to being 12. And if I lived near Danny White or Tony Dorsett, I would have been like in heaven, like being able to knock on that door and get an autograph. But it also made me think about like the elevation of your platform this year and what that was like. So I'd like to start there. God really took you to places maybe I don't even know if you even dreamed of. Maybe you did. But an opportunity to become a starting quarterback in the NFL and lead your team to an NFC Championship game. When you think about where you were, let's say a year ago, February 2022, to where God has brought you today, a lot more people know who Brock Purdy was today than maybe they did 2022 a year ago. What kind of comes to mind? Just an overarching thought on what this past year has been like for you now that you can kind of look back and reflect a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just how faithful God is just by nature of who he is. A year ago after my senior year of college, so a year ago, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to, Coach Campbell and my parents, and I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if football's in my future. Like, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to just go with, the whole process of getting ready for the combine and then the draft. And if I get a shot with an NFL team, great. And I'm going to put my head down and go to work and see what God does with me. But I had no idea. And I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of doubt. I had a lot of doubt of if football was even in the picture. And I was starting to get ready for whatever else God had for me in my life, whatever that career looked like. I was starting to just think about different things. And so, just overall how God is faithful. He's never done with a story, even when you think he is. And, that's probably the first thing that comes to mind.
You say God is faithful as you started to see this story sort of play out. And we talked to your mom and your dad being here and kind of going through what that journey was like for them, being drafted, making the team, getting the first start, going to the playoffs. When you think about all of the moments that God kind of orchestrated in your journey this past year, he remains faithful, certainly. But what was it that you learned about yourself in this process of going forward and finding and seeing all that God brought you to do?
Yeah. Honestly, one of the things that I had been reading throughout the season was Mark 8:34 talks about Jesus is telling his disciples, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And it also talks about if you try to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And so I think really that is just like, I feel like the message of the whole season with all the stuff that had happened coming in, playing, then having success and maintaining that success, getting to the playoffs and doing all these things that, a rookie quarterback hadn't really done in NFL history. And with myself and like my mindset with it was exactly that verse that Jesus had told his disciples thousands of years ago. And I didn't want to grip onto this life of, oh my gosh, I'm in the NFL. I have a starting quarterback role. I can't lose it. It was flipped. I was reminded, of what Jesus had told us thousands of years ago in terms of don't try to hold on to your life. You're going to lose it, and the world wants you to go this way or that way. And the minute you have fame and if you're trying to chase status and money and all this kind of stuff, you'll lose your life rather than, denying yourself, picking up your cross, keeping my eyes on Jesus and his promises. And through that, like that's life. And that's a life worth living. And that's how you save your life. And that's in Christ. So
it's beautiful to hear. Yet you're a competitor. You're an athlete. You're a guy that wants to do the best that you can. Obviously, you had a great year. Is there a moment in this process where you figured, I think I can do this? Like, I think I'm meant, not even a moment, maybe it was in a game, right? But there's a moment where you were like, all right, the doubt that you had thought about that may have been creeping in,
and you get into whatever moment that is, whether it's training camp or a practice or a game or whatever, where you're just like, okay, I belong here.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those moments?
I think it was just an accumulation of, practice reps and plays just really throughout training camp. And then obviously you get into the preseason and you're playing in those games and having some success. But, I think practice, I was making some throws and handling things in the offense and in the huddle where I was like, I can do this. And I definitely, I'm not comparing myself to anyone or anything, but I believe that I can. I'm making these throws and I'm getting, my teammates' attention and everything like that. And I had some guys, some vets that, I've been playing for a while and they've been to different places and they told me like, dude, you have what it takes. And so sort of just hearing that was great, but overall, man, just relying on the Lord and what his plan was and truly believing that he had something written out for me, whether that was football or whether it wasn't. I wasn't trying to hold on to being an NFL player or anything like that. I allowed him to just do what he wanted to with me. So, and then it all just unfolded in the right way.
We saw what happened on the field and this sort of Cinderella story, but we talked to a lot of guys about what it was like to grow in the Lord during a long season. We've talked to a lot of chaplains this year. We've had Reverend Earl Smith on many times, the 49ers team chaplain, who is just a dynamite man. His story, by the way, if you don't know it, is ridiculous. So I encourage everybody to go back and read up on his story. But what was it like for you acclimating yourself as a rookie and growing in your faith? Forget every again, everything that happened on the field is amazing, and God kind of orchestrated that too. But there's still a lot of moments for many weeks there where you're not playing and you're a backup and a guy who's just trying to find his way as a professional. But what about growing in your faith and acclimating yourself into a professional locker room?
I think it's cool just because, I didn't know what to expect going into a professional locker room, who's a believer, who's not, or any of that kind of stuff. And I was very fortunate and blessed to have guys like Charlie Warner, Christian McCaffrey, Pastor Earl Smith, Oren Burks, these guys that are just solid believers. And we'd meet before road games and just have our little Bible studies. And but the biggest thing for me was, man, having fellowship. You're in a crazy business, you're on the road, you're going to different places, but to have guys that believe in the Lord and can help you and pour into you with their experiences and everything, I found that huge. And so that's something that I want to do moving forward with guys that are coming in and to just pour into them, obviously just have the wisdom of playing and what it looks like to continue to serve the Lord in a business like this. So I'm very thankful for those men in my life.
How are you able to stay grounded as a believer when you start, for lack of a better word, blowing up? You start having so much success. The team starts having so much success. You go on that incredible winning streak, but you start to have a lot of success individually as well. You don't have that success without your team, so we certainly know that. But how are you able to stay grounded when a lot of people are probably starting to call your name and you get a lot more requests that were coming your way probably than they were maybe earlier in the season, and yet you're still a follower of Christ, you're still Brock Purdy. How are you able to kind of maintain and stay grounded in the midst of a lot of people elevating you and your status?
Yeah, I think just the biggest thing for me was looking back on just my life, and really the last year of when no one really cared about me. Like, who was I? Who was I, trying to become, in terms of, a child of God and learning, just being rooted in the Word. And so when all this stuff started happening, it's like I was reminded by God and the Holy Spirit of, man, the world's going to try to tell you this and that, all these great things, but the minute, something doesn't go right, they're going to be the first ones to, try to tear you down and tell you that you're not good enough again or all these things. And so I was definitely reminded of that. And I just made sure, like, man, whatever I did this past year, and just in terms of being rooted with the Word and present with God in every step, in every moment, every rep, just driving to the facility, all that stuff of just keeping my eyes on God. I didn't want to change any of that. So when all the success and everything did start happening, I wasn't going to change, and I wasn't going to change for the world or anything. It was just continue to be myself, love on my teammates, be the same leader that I had been all year, keep my eyes on God and nothing more than that.
It's still got to be pretty cool though when a 12-year-old or a couple 12-year-olds come in and want to have your autograph, because you were that 12-year-old once, I would imagine too.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It was cool. I mean, kids right down the street, growing up, I was the same kid, in middle school, junior high, we moved out here, and I was literally down at the park, down in the neighborhood, right a couple of houses down, running, doing ladder drills with my brother and my dad, and talking about, guys in the NFL. And so to have a guy that plays in the NFL live a couple houses down, pretty cool to go down and just get a signature. So
Who was your guy? Like, if you could have gone into a house of somebody and got their autograph, who would have been the guy for you?
man, probably Drew Brees at the time,
Yeah.
just growing up and, him doing his thing with the Saints. And yeah, if Drew Brees lived down the road, I would have been stoked and just go knock on the door at least once.
Was it bizarre to meet Tom Brady knowing that he came in the league when you were basically a year old and you were facing him in a football game?
To me it was wild. Just when we finished the Dolphin game, I didn't know who we were playing next or anything, but then they were like, "Yeah, we got Tom Brady next." And I'm like, "That's wild." Like, they're telling me I have to get ready to start next week, and I'm like, "Wow, this is crazy. Life comes at you fast." Tom had been playing football longer than I've ever been alive, and it's just crazy. So, pretty cool though.
What was the playoff run like for you? And I mean the good and the bad when you look back at it now, because it all happened so fast. There was no bye week for the Niners. You were the 2 seed, but you immediately were playing after that last week a home game against Seattle, and you played great and they won that game. And then you played Dallas, and they had to, it felt like that was a real grind and a battle that you guys were able to kind of persevere through and get the W there. And then quickly, and then obviously everybody remembers what happened with the Eagles, but it happened all so fast. Like, it's within a 3 week period, you're going through a playoff run that no seventh round rookie quarterback has ever gone through, and almost pulled it off going all the way to the Super Bowl. What was that, those 3 weeks like for you off the field, kind of staying grounded, learning the playbook, staying prepared for the game, but also staying prepared spiritually?
I'll say it was a long year, just from being a backup to then starting games, and then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, man, now we need your best ball. So I learned a lot just with being on top of your stuff in terms of studying, being grounded spiritually every single day, and being fed. And so I learned a lot, and it's not easy, like just going throughout the year and trying to be your best. So when the playoffs hit, man, it was all like all or nothing. Like, this game means everything. You can go home that weekend if you don't play your best. It's tournament play. Anything can happen. So for me, it was, man, how can I stay in the same routine? How can I still be spiritually fed with the word every day? Get around the guys that are believers and have them just give you the wisdom of their experiences and everything too, and from a godly, point of view. And so definitely, those guys that I mentioned earlier were pouring into me, and they helped me big time, especially for those first 2 weeks, 3 weeks really. And so, definitely thankful to have those kind of guys with me, and just stay rooted, even when the stakes were high and every single moment was big in the playoffs.
Did conversations take place as your status, forgive me on the use of that word, but it's what it was as far as a public perception of you having all of this success. Were you able to somehow have more conversations or, be able to share your faith? I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, because the platform gets bigger and more people are listening, whether it's a media member or a teammate or whatever, where you're able to talk about the Lord a little bit more, have some deeper conversations because they're seeing you have success on the field, maybe having an opportunity off the field to also talk about Jesus.
I think the media for sure, there was, questions brought up in terms of like, how do you do it? And for myself, it was honestly, you want the truth because this is the truth. And I'm not going to just say, like a worldly answer of, I look in the mirror every night and I tell myself I'm good. It's none of that. It's man, like, this is who God has called me to be, and I've believed that from day one. I believe that Jesus Christ did come down and died for my sins and rose again, and he's living, he's living and sitting beside God on the throne. And so I believe that it's not just some story fairy tale thing. It's real, and it allows me to, stay level headed and real with life, and I know what my purpose is. And so that all has allowed me to play my game, and has allowed me to play football at this level. And I don't go into the locker room telling everyone, I believe this or that, or it just comes about, when guys ask me or they're interested and, what helps you do what you do, then yeah, I share. But the biggest thing for me is just loving all my teammates, being where they're at, relating with them, being a relatable teammate. And then, if they ask about what I believe in, then I'm all for sharing. So that's how I go about it.
As we wind down, I don't want to kind of repaint the entire picture of what happened in the Philly game, but I know watching as a fan, even talking to your parents, I sensed really quickly when you weren't going back in the game, James 1 coming to mind in the Bible. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kind. And I thought, I wonder if Brock is recognizing in the moment that this is a James 1 moment for you, or if it took a little bit for you to get through the game to see that this was a moment where you could still find joy somehow in the midst of the season ending in a way that you certainly didn't want it to end. Will you explain that and take me through that of finding, somehow finding joy in the midst of obviously not the way you wanted to see it end?
Yeah, definitely thought about that in that moment. And for me, it's in the moment, I'm not trying to be so consumed with, man, we're losing, which it's hard because you pour everything you have, you know, for those moments to win. Well, you're one win away from going to the Super Bowl and playing the biggest game of your life.
Yeah.
And there's so many people in that organization that you don't want to let down and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's a bigger thing at hand, and that's what God's doing. And I, in that moment, it's like, man, how can I keep my eyes on the Lord and truly believe that there's going to be something that comes from this and that he has something written out bigger than we all could ever imagine. And so, and that's not saying this is going to be the Brock Purdy story or anything like that of this 30 for 30. It's for everyone, man. And I believe that. And so, you know, for in that moment, that's what I was thinking of. Like, I know what you're doing, God, and I don't know what you're doing exactly, but I know that you're the author of all of it, and that you're going to write out something that's pretty beautiful for everyone in this life, for that game. And so that's where I was at mentally with that. That's how I handled it. And I had joy. I found joy in that moment because of that.
That was Brock Purdy from a year ago, February 2023 on Sports Spectrum, which was just awesome to go into the Purdy household, to meet Carrie, his mom, to meet Sean, his dad, to hang out with Brock. 9 days after they lose, the Niners lose. 9 days after a devastating elbow injury, you heard what Brock said. Like, his identity was grounded in Christ. It's awesome. So now he's on top of the world, and it's 2024. We're in Vegas. We head over to Henderson, Nevada, with an opportunity to spend some time meeting the Chiefs and meeting the 49ers players. And we basically camped out for a good portion of the morning so that we could have a chance to ask Brock Purdy a couple questions. Now, I got to tell you, if I could describe this, I'll try to put it on my Instagram page so you guys can see a picture. It was jam-packed. Our friend Taylor, who's filling in for our friend Leah this week as our videographer, he was right in the front, had a perfect shot of Brock. And then we weren't sure if he was going to be able to get out of there. Like, he was kind of trapped because there was a media scrum of people surrounding Brock Purdy to ask him all sorts of questions. Well, we were very fortunate with Sports Spectrum to be the first person to ask him any questions on this media day. And so we asked him, of course, about his faith. This is Brock Purdy, February 2024, answering our questions here on Sports Spectrum. Brock, let me ask you a question about your faith. Jesus, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Tell me about scripture this year, some of the Bible verses that you've been reading and passages that's maybe helped you this year.
Yeah, this year for me, it's been Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then it goes on. But for me, you know, playing this game, playing this sport, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in, you know, wanting and feeling like wanting to be loved, you know, obviously by your teammates and everybody, but like the world. And so for me, like in that passage, it's talking about, you know, I already have what I need from the good shepherd and Jesus. So I don't know. I've just been studying Psalm 23 throughout the whole season and been going back to it. It's what I start off with actually every single day. I just read off Psalm 23 to myself before I start off with some solitude, and then I go about my day.
I talked to your dad a couple days ago. He said he prays his guts out when he watches you play.
Yeah.
Do you pray when you're playing during a game?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You know, and it's not, can we, you know, God, can we win here? Can we right. do something great here? It's more just to have that peace, that steadfastness in all the chaos. That's really what it is. It's sinking back into, like, Holy Spirit, you know, take over and lead me here in this moment and allow me to think clearly, allow me to, you know, obviously go through my reads and like I said, just have a even keeled state of mind that I get from the Holy Spirit. So,
and that was Brock Purdy, You heard him in 2021. You heard him in 2023. You heard him in 2024. And there's not much difference in his answers. That's the beauty of a guy that you can root for on Sunday at Super Bowl 58, a man that's rooted deeply in his faith in Jesus, his identity found in Christ, win or lose, success or injury. That's Brock Purdy. I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about Brock's journey a little bit of faith, but understanding that his perspective has not changed. He's on the highest of highs right now, the biggest platform there could be. If you'd have seen him answering questions at Super Bowl media night, or even in the media availability that we had with him, he's the same guy. It's really impressive to watch because success can change a lot of people. And let's all keep praying for Brock, because as success happens, the attacks are going to come. The media is going to come at him a little bit. And I think, you know, I pray for anybody, by the way, who has a large platform in sports, who proclaims a faith in Jesus. You know, the attacks are going to come. So I'm excited to watch Brock on Sunday. I'm excited to watch the Chiefs too, and it's going to be a great game. But I hope you guys enjoyed listening to Brock Purdy and his faith journey, interestingly enough, here on Sports Spectrum. We're here at Super Bowl 58 all week, Las Vegas, Nevada. We hope you'll continue to check out our YouTube page, social media, all of the great content that we've got this week here in Vegas. Lots of great stuff. Please share it. Let some people know about Sports Spectrum. And check out our website as well, sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for joining us. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.